And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. We're going to talk about one of the things that I love about real estate investing. You may not realize this, but it really just breaks down into a simple series of processes that you can learn. I like that. Just a series of very teachable, very learnable processes. For example, how to find a house, how to do your due diligence before you contract or while you're under contract on that house, how to buy it, then how to close on it, financing, contingencies, all that fun stuff, how to handle the renovations, because what we're buying at Lifestyles Unlimited anyhow, what we learn as members is how to go out and identify and contract on and close on those houses that do need work, so renovations naturally follow, of course. And then the best part of the process is the lease up. And we are in that season for most people right now. And let me footnote that. That may be a lease up or that may be renewing existing leases. You may have a house that you did buy, say towards the start of the year, you did the renovations, and now you've got this new rental property that's going to hit the market. Looks great. It's going to go fast, right? Or you may be like I am and have a number of properties already, and you're going through renewal seasons. We try to structure our leases so they end usually in about the springtime. Just looking at my portfolio, I think I have one or two in that end of April, a good majority in May and in June, and then a couple of stragglers in July. This is typically the prime season, although I did see an article not too long ago regarding apartment lease-ups, which also typically have a seasonality to them, and that seasonality seems to be diminishing in part due to people being able to work from home. They're not following the summer months, etc. But regardless, maybe you have a new rental or you're going through renewal, or you do that renewal offer and your resident says, you know, I need something bigger. I've just bought a house. I'm moving out of state with my whatever it is. You may then need to market an existing property. So that's what I want to talk about on today's show is that process. That leasing process, and really, it's actually a series of what I would say three sub processes. That's the pricing, right? What is the rent? That's marketing the property, and then that's the screening process. Once you get those applications, I always like to break processes apart and dive a little bit deeper, look in greater detail at each of those subcomponents. It really helps me think about them and think about places for improvement. And when we think about the leasing process, at least the way I approach it, I think about pricing, I think about marketing, and I think about screening, right? That's going to result from the marketing. And I want to start with pricing. How do you figure out what is the right amount of rent to charge? And here I'm thinking specifically about single family. This may apply if you're an apartment owner as well, of course. But ultimately, I need to go out to the broader market and see what other people are charging and what other people are willing to pay for my type of product. We call those comparables. You know, you'll often hear us talk about sales comps, comparables, when determining the market value of a house. That is how a house is valued. Same goes for rent. I need to go out and see what the lease comparables are. And depending on which market you're in, you may have different tools at your disposal to do this. And I'll tell you what, if I have time in the final, we'll see how quickly we flow through my material today. If we have time in the last segment, I'll walk you through running some comps live on a listing that I'll be bringing out soon, because I am doing this live. I do self-manage. And like I mentioned, we're in the middle of our lease-up season now. In fact, just looking at my rent roll here, most of my offers have been accepted, and we've had renewals. I've had two go month to month. We'll talk about that. What does that mean? What does that imply? You know, maybe nothing. And I've had two give notice, one for the end of July. So that one's a little bit out. I'll leave that on the back burner for another 40, 15, 20 days, something like that. But I've got one that is a little hotter. They'll be moving out end of June. So that's one I'm going to look at with you. Now, when I think about the amount of rent to charge, I might be thinking about my expense drivers. Well, I have that principal, interest, taxes, insurance. You may factor in maintenance costs. You may factor in CapEx. You know, we've, as members of Lifestyles Unlimited, we learned that by following that motto, best product, best price, we are hitting that CapEx up front, and we are really hitting those, bringing the maintenance costs forward. So that is part of our loan, and we're addressing that during the, if you're doing it right, you're addressing that during the renovation process. So maintenance really should be close to zero, again, because of best product, best price. I do know people that go out there and they say, well, my monthly expenses are X, and I want to make profit Y, so I'm going to do X plus Y equals my rent amount Z. That may not work. The market may not support that. So what you're going to do is go around and see what have neighboring, nearby, similar apples-to-apples properties, what have they actually leased for. Now, that's if you've got a new rental you're bringing to market, or you're doing a turn like I will be doing on too. What about if it is an existing resident? Same idea. I like to see what I'm getting in terms of new tax burden from the county assessor, county appraisal district, price that in if I can. But again, I have to look at the market and make sure that supports. And I like to stay, again, to the motto, best product, best price. I do like to price a little bit below the existing market. And that's true whether I'm bringing a new property or a property to market, or I'm working with existing residents. I like to tell them, hey, here are market rents. Here I'm coming in just a little bit lower. Sweetens the deal. Helps them want to stay around, because our biggest cost as buy and hold investors, especially in houses, are those turn costs. When they move out, now I've got to touch up the paint. That's wear and tear. I'm not going to charge them for that. Maybe the carpet's a little dirty. They've been in there for 5 years. Well, that's the lifespan of a carpet. I'm not going to charge them for that. So I'm going to incur some costs. I want to keep them around as best I can. Best price of best product, best price. And actually, best product as well will help with that. In fact, the residents that are moving out here end of June, first place they went to try to find that new rental. By the way, they having another kid, need another bedroom. I don't have three. I don't have four in my portfolio available for them. So they went out and found one. But they approached me first, said, hey, do you have a four-bedroom house available? Sorry, I don't. Most of my residents stick around. Best product, best price. By the way, if you're renewing, I mentioned month to month, if your renewing resident does want to go month to month, I personally do not start a lease month to month. I like that long-term security, that long-term certainty, knowing the rent I'll be collecting for a 12-month period. But if you're renewing, I do offer, because life circumstances with this couple, for example, they did already enter a month-to-month period. I offer the rent, and I offer a markup for month-to-month. Put a premium on that, right? Because you're giving some, you're absorbing a level of uncertainty by going month-to-month. And I do find it helps to ask, determine their motivation. Is there a reason why? That tells me, is this going to be a short month-to-month period? Are they going to be out here in 2 months? Or is it something else? And I've had residents go month-to-month for more than 12 months. At some point, I approach them again and say, are you sure you don't want to do a long-term lease? It's going to be better. It's going to financially be better for you. No, I like the flexibility. Okay. Other people I've spoken with in the market, rental owners, will limit the time frame on that month-to-month option. Yes, you can go month-to-month for a maximum of 2 months. The reason they do this is because, again, of seasonality. And the slower time for lease-ups tends to be around the holidays, November, December. So if that month-to-month option is going to put you into that window, yeah, you might consider, if it's in June, putting a 2 month cap on that month-to-month option. Maybe increase the premium. What is the premium? Well, you figure that out. $100 above market rent, $150, $200, I don't know. That's for you to figure out with respect to your risk tolerance and risk aversion there, let's say. So what is the right amount to charge? We'll come back to the comps in a minute. But once you figure that out, you know what the price is. How are you going to market that? Okay, lease renewals aside, we're bringing a new rental to market, or we are leasing one that is existing. How are you going to market that? This is really a big puzzle piece, right? Figuring out the pricing, that's the first process. The next is how to market it. You can do it yourself. I do it myself. It's pretty easy to do. We teach you how to do that, in fact, at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you go to our two-day financial freedom seminar, on the first day, we're going to talk about buying and renovating and leasing single-family houses, and we get very detailed into how to go about this as an owner-operator, doing it yourself, self-managing as I do. But maybe you don't have time. If you're working a full-time job, I respect that. When we first started out, we did our first two houses on our own. We wanted to understand the process, and then we farmed it out to a leasing agent. That's something you can do. If you don't have the time, outsource that. Others will hire a property manager for the entire hold period, and they'll do the lease up. So you figure that out. You know, DIY, do it yourself or not. But then when you market, just like any process, I can kind of find more processes. There are actually three parts to that. We're going to talk about advertising, we're going to talk about showing, and the application process, very important, when we come back.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275 and it's worth $19 million now. So.
Wait, whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. I hope you're having a great day out there today. We're talking about the leasing process, and we've broken that down into three subcomponents. That's the pricing. Talked about that. We'll get into a little more detail at the end of the show if we have time. Marketing, so I want to talk about now, and then we'll get to screening. And marketing, you can really break down again into three more subparts: advertising, showing, and then the application process. I think of this as a separate part. That's going to lead us to screening, by the way. And before you get to the marketing at all, if you have an existing rental and you receive that notice, hey, I appreciate the lease, the renewal offer, but no, we've got something going on. We're one of my other move out. They bought a house. Hey, that happened. Good for them. They've been there building their credit. Now they bought a house. Perfect. That's the American dream. I'm happy for them. But I need to then go to the property or have my representative go to the property and make sure it's show ready. How does it look? Now, if you follow what we talk about, you know you should be doing regular inspections anyhow, maintenance checkups, maintenance walkthroughs, whatever you want to call it, and fixing anything that you find that is broken on the spot. You know, if it's tenant neglect, let's call it, charge that back. You should cover those costs. Do you mark it up? Do you charge a premium on top? Don't know. That's up to you. But if you stay on top of that, when it comes to this point of, okay, existing property, need to market it, remarket it, it will be show ready. So you'll have to decide, can I show it now, or I'm going to have to wait for them to move out so I can go in and do some kind of repairs, right? Maybe needed. In fact, one question I got recently from a listener said, can I start advertising and showing with a resident in place? Yeah, of course you can. Sure you can. Well, look at your lease. Okay, I'm not legal counsel. You'll need to look at your lease, maybe talk with your attorney. But if you're using the Texas Realtor lease here in Texas, for example, yeah, there are two clauses, two paragraphs in there. One says that I, as the owner or my leasing agent, may show the property for marketing purposes. It's in the lease. And there's another place in that same lease that says I may hang a lockbox on the door. I think mine says 45 days before lease end. Maybe you put 60, maybe you put something else in there. If the resident doesn't want you to do that, they can buy you out of that. At least my lease has that in there for some dollar amount. Usually it correlates to whatever the rent is. So yeah, you can absolutely do that with the resident in place. Now you've decided you're going to do it yourself. Maybe you're going to work with an agent, whatever it is, you're going to advertise the property. typically online. Now, that may involve, and we talk about this at our two-day financial freedom seminar, we talk about going and putting the sign in the yard, even during renovations. In fact, I went and toured a house with a member. Beautiful house, not quite done, maybe a couple weeks left on the rehab, but looked great. They already have a signed lease. They've already gotten the security deposit. They've already gotten the first month's rent. They've got cash in hand, and they're still in the renovation phase. And they've got a couple weeks to go. I believe move-in is July 1. They're sitting pretty. But we teach you how to do that. But sign in the yard, literature on the window, a lot of stuff obviously is done online. If you're working with an agent, they'll handle that. If you're doing it yourself, well, what do you need to do? Very, very hugely important, great pictures. Now, if you're in the renovation phase, obviously that's a little harder. But if you're repairing or renovating a house here, it's going to look like your house over there. Can you maybe say this is prior product I've worked on? It's going to look something like this. Yeah, I think that's okay. Just don't tell them that's the same house, obviously. But once the house is finished and before the new resident moves in, get great pictures. I've forgotten to do this a few times. And then I come up to the release period and you don't want to take pictures with your current resident stuff in the house. You're probably going to need to wait till it's vacant now. So note to self, do it before move in. Great pictures sell the property. One thing we learned during COVID, get a one of those Matterport cameras or something similar. Get a 3D floor plan so people can kind of cruise through the house before they even start contacting you. Ah, I love the layout. And I like to have a PDF form of my screening criteria and my application process to load to, whether it's MLS or whatever other place. I may have to email that accordingly, but have that ready for them to review as well. And you can write up basic requirements for credit score, pets or no pets, all that good stuff in your actual listing. So they see that up front. So they're not coming to you wasting your time because, oh, we're not actually a good fit. No, I don't make three times the rent. So you've advertised the house. Now you're going to get people coming. Best product, best price. They love the house. Looks great online. You've priced it well. They want to see it. Before you show it, before you schedule any showings at all, you pre-vet the applicant, the interested party. This is a nod to your screening criteria. You know, you might ask questions about, do you know what your credit score is? Do you have any evictions in your background? Right. What is your household monthly income? Do you have any pets? Do you have any animals? Might be a better question to ask. If you ask a very broad question, you'll often get a very specific answer. If I say how many people will be occupying the house, they may tell me, well, two adults and five kids and three dogs and two cats. Right. You can go from there. But ask broad questions to pre-vet before you even think about showing the house. And then we talked about this already. Have a lockbox. If it's your agent, they'll need that in place. A lockbox, a key box. Again, most leases will allow for this. I will tell you that at least here in Texas, there's a document that a Texas realtor can use. It's called a key box authorization by tenant. Now, yes, they already signed the lease that has that authorization in there. I personally, again, this is not legal advice, but I think it's a good idea to use this again. It's just kind of a reminder. It describes what a lockbox is, but it also talks a little bit about the risks, right? In fact, it goes on to advise resident to remove or secure jewelry, prescription drugs, other valuables. I also have that conversation as well, of course. What might be worth something to add to your process. Now, if you're doing the showings, you want to limit your time exposure through pre-screening. You might just have an automated lockbox with a rolling tumbler, an electronic lockbox with a rolling digital code, so you can do that remotely. Maybe you don't have to go to the house. Again, this is where I go out and I network a lot and talk to other investors and I learn about the things that they're doing. I have not used this particular method, but I know investors that do. They require the interested party to send a picture of themselves, a picture of the driver's license, and then they give them the rolling code. They ask those pre-vetting questions, make sure it's a good fit. And then on a vacant property, sure, go have a look. Would not do that on a occupied property personally. Another option, houses across town, like the one I'll be bringing to market, I may not want to drive over there to show it. I'll find a local agent, say, hey, I'm going to be getting a lot of leads on this house. I can shoot them your way. If you want to show the house, yeah, I'll compensate you for your time. And you can do whatever you want with the other leads that we don't use. then it's super important to be very thorough here, because you are establishing a 12-month relationship with this person via your lease. That is a contract. Is it 12 months? Well, it might be. If I'm doing my lease up in November, I might want to shorten it to get myself back into my preferred leasing season in the spring. Or maybe I go a little bit longer. For, what is that, 14, 15, 16 months? But you are establishing a long-term relationship, so you do your due diligence. Know what your personal criteria for that great resident is, and don't deviate. And if things are going a little bit long in the lease-up process and you're not finding the right candidate, ask yourself why. If you're not even getting interest, ask yourself why. Maybe it wasn't priced appropriately. Maybe those pictures that you put into the internet are bad. If they're fuzzy, I don't know. What's going on in that bedroom? Is that a bedroom? Is that a bathroom? Can't even tell. Right? Look at your marketing plan. Is it good? And how was the rehab? I've seen some properties put onto the market that, well, they're not rehabbed, and they look bad. Pictures are clear, and I can clearly see that carpet is old, you know? So it may be that you've not done something in a prior part of the processes. Adjust, correct that, and move on. But be very focused on your screening criteria. Do that digging. Do that due diligence. There are a lot of tools where you can pay for that criminal credit and eviction history. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, go to the vendor marketplace. We have vendors there for you. If you're not, again, you can find these online. You can even go online to the county records to check for eviction history. It gets a little harder. Not sure that's the best way to do it, but you can. We already talked about phoning or emailing current and prior landlords. That should be on your application. Current and prior employers should be contact info on the application, although we always like to independently verify that number. If they have put a single family as their current rental residence, we will get onto the county appraisal district and see who owns that. It's happened a few times where same last name. Oh, that's mom. Oh, look, mom is the emergency contact listed on the application, also owner of that single. Something's not connecting. Or something is connecting, and that's a problem. So you'll do that digging. If everything looks good through that process, and you have to figure out, is it 2.5 months rent? Is it three? We say 3 months rent. 3 months of your three times the rent in terms of gross income, rather. So if the rent's $1,000, they need to be earning $3,000 per month pre-tax. Some people do four. I think that's pushing a little bit, but you figure that out. What is your minimum credit score? That is where your personal relationship to risk fits in. And that relationship to risk fits in because at some point we're going to sign a lease and we're going to ask for a security deposit. What is that security deposit? How much should that be? Apartment's a different animal, but if we're talking about single family, commonly it's going to be about what the rent amount is. If rent is $2,000, I see it on listings all the time, security deposit, $2,000. I personally, and I learned this at Lifestyles Unlimited, I like to differentiate from the rent by having a slightly higher security deposit amount. Maybe it's $2,050 or $2,100. It just separates that rent and that security deposit amount in that person's mind. Because we have a lot of people moving from out of state and they're thinking, first and last month's rent. No, security deposit is not last month's rent. So here in Texas, anyhow, it's usually 1 month's rent. In other states, there are limits in terms of what you can charge for a security deposit. We do not have a limit cap here in Texas. So if you do go through your due diligence and you find blemishes, but on the whole, they look good, just that one applicant's credit score was so low, maybe you want to double the deposit, increase it by 50%. And we had one where we had to triple it, and that saved our bacon. So if you feel your risk is elevated, that justifies a higher security deposit, okay? Now, if you're going through this leasing process, obviously you have new residents, and when you move them in, you want to go in and get a lot of pictures beforehand. When do you collect the monies there, by the way? Well, security deposit and pet fee, at least in my book, are collected at time of lease signing. If there's a pet deposit, obviously that's going to go with the security deposit. If you charge a pet fee, collect that then as well. We typically do first month's rent at move-in before access is granted, before the keys are handed off. Full first month's rent, even if they're moving in 2 days before the end of the month, and then you can prorate that partial month later, right? But get a full first month's rent, and those should be certified funds. Again, cashier's check, money order. Do not take a personal check. Cash, I guess. Yeah, sure. Money. Cash talks. And then walk them through the property. If you're doing this yourself, I do this myself when I meet with the residents. Or if you're using an agent, have them do that for you. An inventory and condition form. That resident is now going to take this form, and they're going to document everything about the property. You've already done that with your pictures, with your rehab. They're going to do it as well. So when they move out, you guys can compare notes. Hey, what was broken before? What is not broken now? Etc. Said we're going to, if we have time, I got a couple minutes. We'll start this. We may bring this up another session if needed. But I've got a house. Residents gave notice. They're having a kid, another kid, need more room, need another bedroom. Okay, that's fine. So I'm going to market this house. First thing I'm going to do, I like to see what's happening in Zillow. What's happening in some of the non-MLS marketplaces, because that's where the DIY, the do-it-yourself owners are going to go and park their listings. I went and looked at mine. This is about a 1,200 square foot house. Zillow says, hey, you can charge $1,920. Okay, all right. I like to look around, though, because there are other listings on here that I may not find in the MLS. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll use something called Quest, which gives you access to the MLS. But I can see what the other rents for market are. Now, I can't see in Zillow and some of these other platforms what they actually leased for. I need an MLS-linked product to be able to do that, something like Quest. And the first thing I do then, after looking at what's everyone else out there doing that are doing it themselves, is go to the MLS and look at active as well as pending, and more importantly, leased listings. And right now, I like to keep that time frame as short as I can. I just had to go back 90 days, and I've got plenty of lease comps to look at. Now, my property, by the way, we have two baths in addition to three beds. We've got one garage space and a carport. So what is a comp? Something that looks like that? I may not find exactly that configuration because, in part, this is an older neighborhood, 1950s build. When I first ran my comps, I found some 2020 builds. Okay, discard those. I found some that were 600 square feet. Well, mine is 1,200. That is not a comp. You want to start to take a big look and start to dial that in. Dial that in some more. So, hey, we're a little short on time. I think I want to take this up with you again next week. And I want you to think about what we talked about today. This is just a process, one of many processes. And we teach you these processes at Lifestyles Unlimited. Talked about our 2-day financial freedom seminar. It goes well beyond that. I'm looking at our some of the classes we have. Single family marketing and tenant screening. The lease, a line-by-line review. When and why you need a single family lease addendum. Yeah, it may not just be that lease. You may have stuff that goes along with it. We teach you all that at Lifestyles Unlimited. So if you're interested in learning more, I want you to go to lifestylesunlimited.com. You can go to our free workshop, listen to more of our shows, read some of the articles, go out to our financial freedom seminar. Whatever you do, take some action, get started. Process, easy to learn. Just get started. Hey, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.